see more photographs of, because the bus came, she took off, and I wanted to see for medical textbooks more friends that looked like her or her, and I was so excited. I thought this would be an incredible story. I've never seen anything like this. But when I opened up that first medical textbook, I pulled it out. I was so excited. I opened it up to albinism, and I saw the most horrible photographs. Jason, you would have cried. They were so sad. There were images of people in cancer clinics and hospital beds, a bright red eye. There were circus photographs. There were images of kids up against walls in doctor's offices in their underwear or naked with black bars across their eyes, called albinos. Albinos in Africa, albinos in the U.S. And it was so sad, and it was so painful to see that. I thought, oh, I can't look at these. And I put those away immediately, and I figured I'll find a positive resources somewhere. And everywhere I went, I kept finding more and more negative imagery. Even when I was doing research with the Hollywood feature films, it was, you know, the Da Vinci Code, which was the evil albino, and down back down the Powder, who was struck by lightning, and that's why he had albinism, or his mother was. And like, there were always the villains. And so at this point, I was like so upset, thinking, I had this beautiful inspiration, this incredible revelation as an artist. I'm so inspired, and there's nothing. Which made me a little bit more, like, really pushed me harder. And I saw that there was a support group that was for people with albinism and their families. It's called NOAA, the National Organization for Albinism. And I called them, and I just said, you know, I'm a fashion photographer. Let's show the world the beauty of albinism. This is going to be incredible. And they said, get lost. I'm like, you know, I was like shocked, but I'm pretty persistent. I don't give up. I'm kind of like you on that, kid. Like, don't give up. And I just thought, no, we have to, I'm just going to, explain to me, why do you want me to get lost? I don't understand. And then they made it clear to me about their fear of exploitation, that every time a photograph of a kid with albinism was in the newspaper or in a magazine, it was always about a victim. It was always sensational, always negative, always exploitative. And I was like, you know, guys, I have to explain. I have to agree with you. This is why I'm here. I haven't found one positive image. I saw an image of a girl with albinism in Africa with people standing around her pointing spears at her. That was the best photograph that I saw. I was like, and I'm like, ugh. And I said, but this is why I'm calling. I said, so I have a proposal for you. I said, I understand about your fear of exploitation. I know about your fears about the victim. Let's form a non-traditional partnership. You and I together, it'll be a fashion photographer, genetic support group, and we'll work together. You'll keep an eye on me. You'll help me put this together. You'll make sure you'll be part of the whole process. If I start going this way where it's going to get exploitative, you reel me back in or you shoot me, something. Anything you want, but just, and we won't, if this isn't going to be positive, I don't want to do it anyway. So let's work together on this. And they agreed. And it's really kind of started, that's when the whole process began. And I can take further, but that one moment that changed everything was when this girl walked into my studio with albinism to be photographed. So beautiful. But she walked in with zero self-esteem. Because she had been teased, bullied, abused every single day in her life. And she was in high school. And high school was pure hell for this kid. And it was just like, she was walked in, her shoulders were hunched, her head was down, no eye contact. She was so beautiful. I couldn't understand why. But she was like this. And I thought, you know, just the day before, I had photographed Cindy Crawford on the same set in my studio for a Revlon shoot. I thought, you know, out of respect for Christine, I'm going to photograph her like I did Cindy yesterday or any supermodel. So the fan went on, the music went on, and I picked up a mirror and I held it up there and I said, Christine, look at yourself. You're magnificent. And she looked in the mirror and she saw it. And she went from this to that. And it was amazing how her head went up in the air, her shoulders back, and a smile that lit up New York City. And I realized, this is what I need to be doing. This was an ambassador. She's going to change the world because she was empowered with a new sense of who she is. She saw beauty in herself. And the next day, she's going to walk into school, not like this, but like this, and changing everybody around her. So we created a mini twister, or a cyclone, but changing everybody around her, that are going to see beauty in her difference. And that started it, my friend. Sorry, I go on. If you tell
no,
me,
no,
you
no,
tell
no,
me,
you're
you can
good.
Do this.
No, if I think I talk this is all very, okay. I enjoy hearing
okay,
this.
Good, okay.
Before the girl you saw at the bus stop, did you have any experience with disabilities?
I didn't at all. I not at all. In fact, I didn't even realize that there was a disability associated with albinism. I just saw difference and diversity, but I didn't know that there was a visual impairment. And I don't have any experience with anybody with disability, not in my immediate family or in my extended family. I have some friends. I have a really great friend who has a visual impairment, but I didn't see disability, and I certainly had never been to a conference for people with any kind of a difference or disability prior to that moment.
I just want to make sure this is still... Yep, it is.
You talk about medical...
I just wanted to hear your own voice, didn't you?
you talked about medical textbooks and the negative images they have of people with differences. Have any medical textbooks started to use your images?
Yes! Oh, Jason, I'm so proud to tell you they have. In fact, they're starting to use more and more of the images. In fact, I just got an email from a woman. She's a genetic counselor. She's her name is Barb Biesucker, and she's the right-hand man to Francis Collins, who's the director of the National Institute of Health. She's a real major spokesperson on genetics and genomics, and she just sent me an email saying, I'm using a text message. She said, I've just used 25 of your photographs for my presentations on genetics, and I have to say, once again, the audience is screaming over them. They love these photographs, and it's everyone. She's, I go into medical schools now, medical schools around the country, and actually now around the world, and present these images so that medical students, starting with healthcare providers in training, don't see a disease or diagnosis. They see a human being first. And so going into medical schools, that's so important. It's right on my top list, and this kind of a support will help us do even more of that, is that it's so important to go into medical schools and start these healthcare, these future doctors, give them an opportunity not to see disease, but a human being. Not what you're treating, but who you're treating is so important.
What have you learned about working with people with differences and from their experiences?
Oh, I learned so, man. Sorry, that's a loaded question. I learned a lot. Yeah. I learned that everybody has a story. Everybody wants that moment to shine. Everybody has that inside of them that comes screaming out. And it's not that inner stuff. It's this beauty. It's just that we're told, no, you can't see it. It doesn't exist there. And you're like, oh, yes, it does. Just shine that light. I learned that everybody has a key to release that beauty. Everybody has a moment. And I also learned that it's not only is it really important for the individual themselves to empower that individual themselves with a positive sense of who they are, but it's also important to empower their families. But then it empowers their community, and then it empowers their community, and then we start building and growing and creating this huge human movement to change the way people see all differences.
That's cool. Many of your photos highlight the personality of persons who happen to have physically noticeable disabilities. Do you ever photograph people with hidden disabilities, which are not as physically apparent?
Absolutely. It's so important that we do that. We're working a lot now, right now, with kids and adults living with autism, and a variety of differences as well, because it's not just physical or genetic, it's also cognitive and behavioral as well. A lot of like autism, although it's like, it's so common, it's out there, there's a tremendous discrimination, a big stigma associated with it still, which breaks my heart, but we're changing that. But it's invisible.
Yeah.
And yet there's such stigma. So we're really out there really trying to make sure that we... And I'm not going to solve the problems of the world with my with my camera, but we're going to start the dialogues. We're going to start the conversations. And the more we talk about it, the more I get to meet amazing people like you, and you have your such strength, and we all start partnering and building this human movement, we're going to change that.
Well, I think in some ways, even you might not change the world, but you make it so that people realize there's more diversity with, you know, there's certain pictures of certain things, even mental health issues, that you sort of have a certain image of it, and you to see who the people really are is important, and that there's diversity, and that, you know, it's not, you don't seem like you're this or that.
And we were talking, you and I were talking about this last night.
Yeah.
And it kept me up a little bit last night, because it's almost, even though it's someone trying to be kind, it's an insult.
It's an insult.
Like, I didn't realize that you had this.
Well, it's an insult to me, and it's an insult to other people, because it's like, why are you saying, why is it like that I'm supposedly better than...
I thought you were a better person than you are, or I didn't realize that you had autism. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that mean? Are you going to change your opinion of me? I spoke to 7th graders today, and then high school kids earlier, And I talked about, you know, what is when someone walks into the room like this, why is that? Mm-hmm. And this one just girl just said, she raised her hand, she said, it's because people feel she doesn't want to be, she's afraid people are going to judge her. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's, you know, my opinion is bring it on. Mm-hmm. You judge me, you bring it on, I'm ready for that. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people can't handle that. And when someone says to you, oh, I didn't realize that you were, you're, instead of getting insulted and going into the dark corner, you, Jason,
yeah,
start Jason's corner. Mm-hmm. You start this thing, you're not in the corner hiding, you're, mm-hmm, Jason's corner, where you have this loud mouth, and just, you have an opinion, and you have a lot to say, and yeah, that's what we really want to do. It's that, mm-hmm, kind of a story that you and I, and many, yeah, of our friends, we hope to empower more individuals to, mm-hmm, be outspoken, and to react, to say, yeah, yeah, I do have autism, and it's not, you know, I'm amazing, not in spite of it, but it's part of me, it's important, mm-hmm, to me. Mm-hmm. Without my autism, I'm not Jason. Mm-hmm. So why would you want to get rid of that, or you're surprised? That's not a, that's the, one of the great things about me. Mm-hmm. There are other great things about me, too, but all my elements are great, all the components are great, and it's about starting that dialogue, and that's why I'm so honored to be part of this Jason's Corner, because it really is about having a voice. Not, and I'm all about the visibility, because I'm, mm-hmm, a fashion photographer, photographer, mm-hmm, visual artist, and it's all about the voice, though, and I realize how important not only is visibility, but also giving our community a voice.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, thank you for all you, I mean, all the stuff you've done is amazing. It's really inspiring me, too.
Awesome. Great. These questions are tough.
And you sort of addressed this already. Do you feel more artistic freedom and autonomy working independently rather than in the fashion industry?
Good question. You know, I do. I do. I always worked freelance, though. Even as a fashion, mm-hmm, photographer, I didn't work for anybody. I always worked for, I was always my own company, mm-hmm, so I was always hiring me, and then I'd come in and work. So I always have had a lot of, mm-hmm, autonomy. But the freedom right now, of course, as I did, mm-hmm, say earlier, is that it's, I am allowed to absorb beauty and present it back the way that I see it, and not, mm-hmm, and I don't, it doesn't have to go through the filters of the fashion industry who's trying to push a product, mm-hmm, and I'm so glad that I have that freedom, but nothing's really, it is always and has always been about beauty to me, so, mm-hmm, but I do feel that the freedom right now is that I'm really allowed to be honest with myself, mm-hmm, and be honest with and be completely in touch with the artist in me, mm-hmm, and really create imagery that's important, and I think you know, when I present it back to you, it's, mm-hmm, there's a, it's reflective, and it almost, you see almost yourself in that image, and you, and it's just, and so it creates all this, these, this thought process, and it's thought provoking, and it starts creating ideas about diversity and embracing difference and seeing beyond difference, and so yeah, it's it feels, not only is it more liberating as an, mm-hmm, artist, it's, there's so much more potential, mm-hmm, as an artist. I mean, I there are no limits.
That's awesome. If you're allowed to, can you tell us some of the personal stories of the people you've taken photos of? What are they doing for a living? What do they do for fun, family life, love life, sure, et cetera?
Sure. You know, it's across the board. I, yeah, love so many people that I've worked with. That, mm-hmm, they have lives. They, yeah, have lives, and they're loved. And, you know, those medical-type photographs, those people in those photographs don't look like they've ever had a slice of pizza, mm-hmm, let alone been kissed by their mom or have a puppy. Or, you know, just look like, they don't look like there's any life there. Mm-hmm. But so often when I go to these family conferences and I meet these gorgeous people, there's so much life there, and I met, there's so many great stories, just that I meet constantly, these incredible, mm-hmm, people, and every day that everybody has a new story, and they all have lives, they're leading lives, mm-hmm, sometimes the lives are a little bit more difficult because there's a lot of self-esteem, mm-hmm, issues and a little resistance because the community is not embracing difference, mm-hmm, but that's changing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's with the support of people like Jason's, of like you, Jason, and, mm-hmm, and organizations around the world, mm-hmm, it's we're all joining this human movement. Mm-hmm. We're all creating opportunities for that person to feel accepted, embraced, and included. Mm-hmm. And that's the best we can offer. I mean, there's so many stories. Like the most powerful story I spoke of earlier today was, and this started early days, is I had a young woman who has albinism.
Mm-hmm.
And she was about 13, she was about 14 years old. She did, mm-hmm, not want to be photographed. Mm-hmm. School was really tough, right? Even adults in her school made fun of her albinism.
Wow.
I know, unbelievable. So this is why you want to have, yeah, I want to have a book that's hard back so I can beat people over there with it if they don't open the book. But she did not, but every time I was taking photographs of somebody there, yeah, she'd be like walking by, or she'd be sitting there and she'd be watching. Mm-hmm. So she was always there, ready to be to watch people watching the photographs. So I finally just begged her. I said, please, let me take your photograph. And she said, okay. And it was great. We had such a great shoot. We had so much fun. She was really jumping all over the place. It was brilliant. At the end of the shoot, she's a 14-year-old kid. She says to me, finally, I feel like I could be proud of my albinism. I could be proud of my difference. She said, I realized, though, that the hatred and the abuse that I experience every single day will never disappear. But what has disappeared is the hatred that I felt for myself. And I'm like, okay. This all, if I don't do it, if I never pick up my camera again, that kid has been changed. And that changed my life. And I'll never suffer nearly as much as this 14-year-old kid has already, the hell she's already gone through. So that's, she kind of made me go really make that final pivotal decision and walk away from the commercial end of fashion and photography and just focus on positive exposure. That was about 9 years ago.
Wow.
And that's pretty amazing.
And I agree. I mean, we try to focus a lot on people's personal stories and their interests and their out.
So many.
Because, I mean, there's, I mean, you know, sometimes people think of it as, oh, the difference is the only thing you deal with. But you have, that's only a little bit, or, you know, that's the only thing you focus on. But that's, you know, only a little part of what you do and what you're about. And there's so much more.
So much more.
Tell us about the documentary you made called On Beauty.
And that actually, the documentary On Beauty is made by a film company called Kartemkin Films, and they did a very famous documentary called Hoop Dreams. They made that, did this many, many years ago. But then last film season, they did a film called The Interrupters, which won a lot of awards. And they're just this great independent filmmaker documentary company based in Chicago. And my film director and producer is a woman by the name of Joanna Rudnick. Joanna's amazing, and she did a film called In the Family. In the Family is following decisions that families make, women in particular make, when they realize that they're carriers of the BRCA or the BRCA gene. The BRCA gene will put a woman at an elevated risk of ovarian and breast cancer. And she made this documentary. She also carries this gene. And so she did a documentary of her own decisions, being a carrier of this decision, of this gene, that once the cancer kicks in, it's so aggressive, so that you really have to take reconstructive breast surgery, hysterectomy, the whole kit and caboodle, and for young girls as well, because it's so aggressive. And she follows the story of these several families that are in clinic and hospitals and making these really crazy, wild, lifetime decisions based on this BRCA gene discovery. It's an amazing documentary, and she was presenting it at the Genetic Alliance annual conference, which is a coalition of all the genetic support groups in D.C., and I was there. I had an exhibition there, a positive exposure, and she was walking through to do the premiere of her film, and she stopped, and I was there just kind of putting the photographs up with the curator, and she said, these are photographs of me. She said, my BRCA gene is invisible, but these are, I want to do your documentary. I'm like, who are you? And I went in and I watched the film. I was like, okay, you can do it. Because I got asked, I was asked constantly by people to do this, but it's a lot of time. And my time, I'd rather be on the flat ground taking photographs and not having to deal with documentaries and making this film. But it was just so easy to do, and she was amazing, and she really got the story. She knew exactly that. And the documentary On Beauty follows, like two of the people you said, what are their lives like? And it follows my great friend Sarah. Sarah has Sturge-Weber syndrome, and she has a birthmark bilaterally across her face, and she's a motocross driver.
Oh, wow.
A racer, and she's amazing. And she has developed a technique so it's not to see people staring at her birthmark. She looks down. And my philosophy goes against everything. I'm like, on the table now, girl. Head up in the air. Let's go. Bright lights on you. Celebrate that difference. And it's that part of our relationship and what positive exposure has meant to her and how it's changing her life. And the other star of the film is a great friend of mine, Jane Marthera, who has albinism, and she lives in Kenya, in Nairobi. Actually, in Nyeri, which is just outside of Nairobi. And it's her story. It's her hearing about positive exposure and wanting to start Positive Exposure Kenya. And what she did and how she's enabled herself and empowered herself to begin in working with me in Positive Exposure to create an opportunity to celebrate difference and celebrate albinism in a society or in a culture that condemns people with albinism. So it's pretty intense. So I can't wait to see the film. It's really,
I really am
really,
excited for
really
that.
Really good. And it has its international, it has its premiere, its international premiere, which is at the Chicago International Film Festival. Wow. October 18th, so in a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah. That's
fantastic. You have to let me know how it goes.
Oh, don't you worry. It's going to be real. But we're going to see it here, though, during the film festival.
Yeah. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah.